Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This girl is on fire.
What surprised you about week number one in the NFL? Kind of fun even to think about the fact that week one is in the books. We waited for so long and now it's completely done and we can stop to process for a couple of days, deep breath, and then we launch forward into week number two. Thursday night football, by the way, Bengals and Browns. There's another one of my surprises from week one. What the hell happened to the Cleveland Browns? Now, I know it would be really easy to say, oh, same old Browns. But I don't believe that. They're not the same old Browns, are they? Come on. They've got a lot of talent. I do believe it's same old OBJ. His best years are already behind him. So that I do believe. But what about everything we heard from Baker Mayfield in the offseason? The accountability. Raising the bar. And there are other really talented players on both sides of the ball. And I do believe that Kevin Stefanski has the tools. He certainly has the pedigree and the support and the belief and confidence of so many in the world of football. Maybe it's about not having an offseason. Maybe it's about not having OTAs. Maybe it's about no preseason games. I don't know. But come on. 6 points. 3 turnovers. An offense that didn't know if it was coming or going, completely out of sync. Yes, Kevin Stefanski's different, and he's the fourth head coach for Baker Mayfield since he got drafted. But the personnel is not all that different. Week number one, and Stefanski's already trying to figure out what's wrong, why the connection between Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. is a disaster. I mean, I know the Ravens are really good. I believe that. They don't look like they've lost a step. But come on, Cleveland. Did you have to make it that easy for them? This is a divisional matchup. So maybe, just maybe, I was completely wrong about the Browns in believing that this could be a year in which they get above 500 with the expanded playoffs. They compete for a postseason berth. I do believe the AFC North will be competitive, and I think Steelers and Ravens are the class of that division. But what is this, like Charlie Brown holding the football out for Lucy and then pulling it out from underneath her right as she's about to kick? Is that what we're up against here, Cleveland? Come on. The post-game comments from Baker Mayfield, in fact, producer Dave, if you want to find those again, the post-game comments from Baker Mayfield could have been the exact same words he used a year ago after they were pummeled by the Titans and lost by 30. They just lost to the Ravens by 32. This is a divisional matchup, and they looked like they've made zero progress in a year. Or maybe they've regressed in the past year.
Sometimes a wake-up call is pretty good for everybody.
Really?
A nice punch in the mouth. And that's how we should take it. We should, not dwell on it. Realize that we just got beat today. They played better than us. Look at it and get better, move on, and go play the Bengals. That's all we can do.
I feel like that's exactly what he would have said a year ago. A gut punch. A wake-up call. It's a loss. It's bad. They were better than us.
Nice punch in the mouth.
Yeah. How many more of those punches to the mouth do you need exactly? I still believe in Kevin Stefanski. I believe he's the key. He waited a long time for a starting job. a starting job. He waited a long time to be the man, the starter. There are only 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL, and he deserves his. He's earned his. But I gotta believe there's a part of Cleveland that is wondering, oh, crap, is it going to be another season of what we saw a year ago with Freddie Kitchens? I hope not. I hope not for your sake, Cleveland fans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. I was tweeting during the early games on Sunday, which quarterback do we see first? Nick Foles, Tua Tagovailoa, or Alex Smith, who would be my personal favorite to get on the field. I really do hope he does. I'm not wishing anything bad on Dwayne Haskins, but the way that Mitch Trubisky, Haskins, and Ryan Fitzpatrick started out, I thought we could see quarterback changes in week one. And I keep a list. Every year I keep a list of the number of teams and the weeks in which it happens, the number of teams that change starting quarterbacks or that use multiple quarterbacks because of injuries or ineptitude. It's going to happen. Typically, it's half the league. That's about the average. Half the league uses multiple quarterbacks. And so I was wondering which one we'd see first. And then Trubisky rallies, so do the Bears. You have the Dolphins looking as bad as what I expected. They're still in a rebuild mode. But stop with the tank for Trevor. They just drafted Tua. They're not going to move around or turn around and draft Trevor Lawrence. That's ridiculous. So we could see Tua, but the problem is the team is really bad. And do you really want to throw Tua into that fire? Fitzpatrick, he's older. He's seen it all. He's been on a lot of bad teams. So he's probably more mentally equipped to handle that. His confidence will in no way be affected. Have you noticed that about Fitzpatrick? He doesn't care. He just keeps playing like his pants are on fire or like there's something building a nest in his beard, one or the other. So his confidence will not be shaken, and it really doesn't matter because he's not the future of the franchise. He's the present for now. And then Dwayne Haskins, who also played better. Now, he didn't play great, but because of the way that his defense kept giving because of the way his defense kept giving the offense the ball back over and over and creating extra opportunities, that certainly was a positive. So, yeah, there's a lot that you could take away from week number one. I don't want to process all of it. I want to hear from you. It's After Hours on Facebook, also on Twitter, and we've got our Touchdown Tuesday poll up as well as we make our way into the wee hours of a Tuesday morning. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Oh, and if you haven't voted for Monday MVP, we'll definitely do the big reveal coming up later this hour. Let's talk to Doug, who's in Ohio. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. A long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool, thank you.
Hey, you hit it right on the head about the Cleveland Browns. I've been a Cleveland Browns fan for 50 years, and I'm not going to give up on them. But there's just something missing, and I don't think Odell's the answer.
Well, no. I mean, he shouldn't be. A wide receiver is not necessarily ever going to be your answer unless that's the piece that you're missing.
No.
But, I mean, were you believing that it was going to be different to start? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, I really did because all the hype and everything that they had, you know, going into the offseason, and I just thought that they were going to come out with a little bit more fire than what they did. And it was kind of disappointing.
So you think it was about effort and desire?
I didn't think that there was any effort into anything. I mean, the running wasn't there. The catching wasn't there. Baker looked disheveled.
Disheveled. That's a good term for Baker. Well, when you throw an interception on the very first series, yeah, of course you are in fact going to be a bit disheveled. But the running game also suffered a little bit. I mean, they do have the 1-2 punch, of course, with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in a perfect world.
Well, they sure
do. Chubb was banged up.
And I don't know, but I'm not going to give up on them. That's for damn sure.
Well, you can't. It's only week number one.
No, yeah,
that would
exactly.
make for a really long season.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just like you said with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, it's only the game one.
Yeah.
You can't give up.
Thankfully, it only counts for one loss as opposed to to more of them.
Yep,
oh, gosh.
Man.
But I was definitely surprised. I know that the offense for the Ravens can put a lot of pressure on a defense, but I guess I just expected a more competitive game.
Yes, I was expecting the same. Hmm. So,
well, I like the fact that you're going to rally. You're going to rally and you're not going to give up, Doug. That's impressive.
That's the only bad thing about the Cleveland fans. We don't give up.
No, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's to your credit. Perseverance,
exactly.
Determination. Look, you finally got an NBA title a couple years ago. Does it feel like forever ago now?
Yeah, it sure does.
You're hungry for another one?
We want another one.
Yeah.
I just want the Indians to do something this year. Mm. They're starting to slump.
When was the last time anybody actually talked about the Cleveland Cavaliers? I guess it would be when LeBron James departed for the second time. It feels like that team has fallen off the map.
Yes, they have. And that's a shame.
Maybe the hiring of John Beilein and then firing. I don't know. Would you call it a firing? Would you call it a mutual parting of ways?
I would just say a letting go.
A letting drift off into the sunset.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, without big hype.
What's worse, Doug? Is it worse to be bad and to be the butt of the jokes in your league, or is it worse to be irrelevant, where people just forget you're even playing?
I think irrelevant.
I would say that too. It's worse to be irrelevant and how people just don't even remember that you have games.
Yeah.
They're not talking about you at all. That's worse. That's like sports purgatory.
Yes.
Where in Ohio are you from?
I'm from Lorain.
Oh, okay. So my...
About 25 miles west of Cleveland.
Gotcha. My mom's whole side of the family is from the Youngstown area. And so I'm very familiar with Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, I love it here.
Mm, good. I'm
like
glad. Well, I'm glad you're listening. Great. Oh, I love the snow. I'll take that lake effect snow any day. You can send that my way. Yeah.
You can have it.
All right. Well, it's good to talk to you, Doug. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Good talking to you.
Oh, don't. You can't hesitate. You snooze, you lose on your greeting, peeps. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to need to see more of the Browns in 2020 before I officially bury them or before I declare that there is still hope. I was taken aback. Here's something else that was a surprise to me. Aaron Rodgers would dare at any point to act like the Packers fly under the radar. Stop it. Seriously, stop it. As long as Rodgers is the starting quarterback, they will never be overlooked or fly under the radar. But I think it's kind of funny, and I'm not at all surprised by this element of it, but it's kind of funny that people are already looking at the drafting of Jordan Love as this extra motivation for Aaron Rodgers, like it lit a fire under his butt. No, he will tell you himself in a very weird Zen way that it was all about his self-love in the offseason. Do we still have that funky soundbite from Aaron Rodgers? I don't even know if we do. He just went on and on about how you have to love yourself and how if you pay attention and you go through the process of growth and self-love, well, then you become a better person and you're happier with yourself. I mean, maybe that is true, but the way that he phrased it was a little bit creepy Zen. It was a little bit weird, Zen. I don't ever want Aaron Rodgers to retire. The NFL is better with him. The more we find out about he's changed as an older guy, though. Remember, he was old and grouchy and cranky a couple years ago. Now he's all about the Zen and the self-love. He's a different guy. And no, it's not Danica Patrick's fault. But I would suspect the process of self-evaluation and self-love was necessary after another breakup.
Just like the 2011 offseason, the extra time was beneficial for those of us who chose to work on ourselves during that time. And I think that was the important important thing. I think the more that we work on ourselves and we learn to love ourselves, the more we can love others better. And it when you're feeling good about yourself and confident and loving others, it's naturally going to put you in a better mood. I think my quality of life has been pretty high based on some important decisions I've made in my own life.
Self-love. It's all about learning to love yourself so that you can better love others. See what I mean? It's just this, it's a different side of Aaron Rodgers. It's this Zen side of Aaron Rodgers that I wasn't really expecting. And then you see him go out there and he's very competitive, of course. And he was mean. He picked on, if they were on a playground, you could have accused Aaron Rodgers of being a bully and stealing the lunch money of the young Vikings cornerbacks. And so he definitely still has that fire. And of course, he brings all the wisdom and experience and the darts, the bullets that he can throw. But then you hear him talk about it. You wonder, like, what happened to you exactly in the offseason?
We work on ourselves and we learn to love ourselves the more we can love others better.
I mean, I'm not saying it isn't true. It's just funny to hear him talk about when 2 years ago in the offseason, he proclaimed himself a grumpy old man, old and grouchy. And he sports that long kind of scraggly beard when he wants to, not to mention the no-shaved November. I don't know. Maybe this is another side of Aaron Rodgers. He's transformed himself because of the revelations in his personal life. Maybe.
I like where we're at as far as kind of flying under the radar.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Make me roll my eyes. I'll give you the self-love part. Learn to love others when we love ourselves. Maybe he has a second career in the offing as a sports psychologist.
Yeah, I love Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you, Tom Brady, for weighing in. So I am not at all surprised that Rodgers goes out there and chucks four touchdown passes and looks like typical Aaron Rodgers. No, he's not losing his job to Jordan Love. And no, this is not a guy who will ever fly under the radar because his game does not cooperate when it comes to being overlooked. So what surprised you about week number one? Now, straight ahead, right in the middle of everything happening with the season openers in the NFL, we had this breaking news from the Big Ten that this conference, not the Pac-12, this would be just the Big Ten solo, is re-examining the idea of playing football in the fall and that it could begin by October 17th if they can come up with a new vote and if they can agree to reverse their previous decision about tabling football until potentially the spring. And so we're going to give you the latest, and I'm rooting for you, Big Ten football fans. I don't want it to get lost in everything that happened with the NFL. So we'll mix in some Big Ten football coming up next.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Everybody's going to throw us in the trash. I think that's good. I know what type of men we have in this locker room. And quite frankly, I don't really give a damn what happens on the outside. I know how we're going to react. I know what we're going to do, how we're going to bounce back. We don't really care.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Baker Mayfield a year ago, after they lost to the Titans by 30 points in the season opener. If I'm not mistaken, the score was 43-13. I don't know why that sticks in my brain, because normally things like that don't stick in my brain. But that was him, defiant, ready to get out there and prove to the world that this was not the Cleveland Browns and they were going to turn this thing around and dare you doubt them. They were going to prove you wrong, you dummies. Oh, yeah, that didn't go so well. It's a different tone, I think, after this year's loss, which was by 32. I hope he's not becoming resigned to it. Definitely still sounds like they want to learn from this experience and make sure it's a one and done as opposed to a streak of losses like this.
Nice punch in the mouth.
It was definitely a punch in the mouth, but he's not the same defiant guy. Maybe he's figured out that doesn't really work, at least not publicly, because then people want to punch you in the mouth even more. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Raise your hand, and we'll get back to the NFL here in a second, but raise your hand if you watched any of the major college football over the weekend. The ACC started last Saturday, and that included Clemson. Actually, Miami played on Thursday night, didn't it? Miami and UAB, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry, all these games start to blend together, the games and the dates. But we had Syracuse, North Carolina on Saturday, and then Clemson later at night against Wake Forest. And so it was really cool to see Trevor Lawrence out there. I really enjoy watching that Clemson offense operate. And at least initially at this point, Clemson is considered the number one team in the country. Now, the SEC is about to get back on the field. The Big 12 is going to make its debut, too. They were supposed to, and then ended up having some of their opponents postpone because of different COVID tests and COVID outbreaks. And so there's a lot of moving parts in college football. But one of the moving parts is that the Big Ten is at least considering a new vote, a revote, if you will, about restarting football after they canceled it and said they would not play this fall. So they had a couple of big meetings over the weekend. And this is university presidents, the chancellors. They also have a task force that is about getting them back on the field. They've been looking over the latest medical information. They've been taking other presentations from various schools about how they would potentially return to play. We didn't end up getting a vote on Sunday, but it was a huge video conference. And they didn't vote on Monday. But we do think, or at least it's been reported, that October 17th would be the start date. Now, you remember when there was talk and kind of confusion over why the Big Ten schools were still being allowed to practice, or really any of the schools that aren't playing football this autumn. Why are they allowed to continue practicing? Well, it has to do with scholarships. It has to do with keeping them active, trying to keep them at least somewhat in football shape, even if you're not actually playing games. But it is kind of weird. I will give you that if you're worried about the virus. And so here they are, potentially targeting October 17th as the date at which they would kick off their season. So what does that mean? What does that mean for the college football playoff? What does that mean for these schools? How many games would they play? What does that mean for their schedules? Obviously, they would be doing a conference-only slate where it's internal and they could set a schedule based on all of the other member schools. And you remember one of the reasons why people were so critical of the Big Ten's vote to cancel football is because it had come, what, days after they had released their entire extensive reworked schedule. And so there is this potential start date of October 17th, according to multiple sources. And every school would play. That's another piece that's really important. They're not going to allow some teams to sit out, allow some teams to play. It's essentially the opposite of what happened a month ago when they said, no, you're not, as individual schools, allowed to go out and seek your own schedule, seek your own opponents. If none of us is playing, then none of us is playing. And it's the opposite if they revote to start football. Every team in the Big Ten, which has more than 10 teams, would be playing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Brady Quinn, of course, played at Notre Dame. It's part of CBS Sports HQ. He's kind of looking at some of the logistics here, including how the Big Ten would fit in with the playoff.
If you're starting the race at different points, but you're still running the same length of race, you can then finish at the same time, potentially. That's what we're talking about here. Look, regardless of when the Big Ten starts, the question really is 8 games going to be enough to allow them to factor into the college football playoff when you've got the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 all slated with 10 games? And so how is that 8-0, for example, and potentially 9-0 with the Big Ten Conference Championship game, going to stack up to a Clemson who's undefeated with that 10-game schedule plus the conference championship game, or Alabama or Georgia or Florida, whoever comes out of the SEC, and obviously Oklahoma, Texas out of the Big 12 since they're the favorites? How does it all stack up to the football playoff committee?
Now remember, the college football playoff committee already revealed its 6 dates in which they will share their various rankings and their final rankings, which determine which teams will face off in the national semifinals. That ranking doesn't come out until December 22nd, right? Yeah, so the 25th is a Friday. Christmas is a Friday this year. And the 22nd is a Tuesday. So they come out every Tuesday, and they're going to delay that because they want to make sure that all these various conferences who've pushed back their schedules can be accommodated. But what does that mean about the Big Ten? Well, they're not to that point yet. Right now, they're looking at rapid response testing. They're talking about testing daily. They're trying to figure out contact tracing. It's really awkward because there's a TR right after that, so contact tracing. Anyway, I talk for a living. Here's what has to happen. At least 9 of the 14 member schools have to vote to restart football. Now, you remember, we found out clandestinely that Nebraska, Ohio State, and Iowa were the 3 schools that wanted to play going back to the August vote. So it was 11-3. Kevin Warren, the commissioner, tried to pretend like it was unanimous. He was fibbing. So now what they need, according to conference bylaws, is 9 of the 14 schools to vote yes. We want to move forward with football. And so there's a lot of logistics, protocols, essentially the same as what every other sport and league has gone through to get operational. I hope the Big Ten didn't waste all of this last month. I hope that even as they were having lawsuits filed against them and fielding the complaints and trying to explain why they're being so vague about this decision, that they actually were doing their homework and figuring out the best way to get these schools out on the field so they didn't lose that entire month. I really hope that that is the case. So coming up this weekend, it's yet another round. And every weekend, you've got more and more teams that are jumping into the fray. Notre Dame will play again this weekend, Saturday night, under the lights, fighting Irish at South Bend. And so I'm excited to see the ACC, excited to see more of these power conference schools get out there and on the field. And I think it's no doubt not lost on the Big Ten that there are not only pro teams in their regions, but also other conferences that are operating in their various states where they have institutions. If they can do it, why can't you do it? Especially when the Big Ten has a lot of money and can make sure that they cross the T's and dot I's. At least I didn't say that wrong. Like contract tasing. Contract tasing. Nope, that's not something we do around here. Okay, coming up, I have to tell you about a moment that made me laugh and a moment that freaked me out and made me scream. And they happen within 24 hours of each other because, you know, that's me. Wild emotional roller coaster. We're taking your tweets, A-Law Radio. What surprised you about week number 1? And don't forget to vote for not only Monday MVP, if you haven't yet, but also our Touchdown Tuesday. I like to cross those. They're like ships crossing in the night.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Let's see if he can come back and get Peterson. The 3-1 pitch on the way. A swing and a ground ball toward the middle. Baez has it. Throws to first. Alec Mills has just pitched a no-hitter. A no-hitter for Cubs right-hander Alec Mills. A ground ball to Baez, a routine play. The Cubs are mobbing the young right-hander on the mound, jumping up and down. What a great moment for Alec Mills as the Cubs win the ball game 12-0.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at A-Law Radio.
You may have missed it in all the fray over football, but baseball had its second no-hitter of 2020 with Alec Mills. And what an unlikely candidate. I love these stories from the world of sports. At 28 years old, he threw a career-high 114 pitches, got a ton of run support, double-digit runs from the Cubs offense. But how about this? Alec Mills throws a no-hitter in his 15th major league start. Wow. You can't make this stuff up. And that's my favorite category when it comes to sports. From the category of you can't make this stuff up, Alec Mills now joins the ranks of those who've thrown a no-hitter in his career, but he does it in his 15th career start. That's amazing. Pat Hughes with the call on the Cubs radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So from a guy just starting out his career who gets his own little slice of history to a guy at the tail end of his career who just adds another piece of history to his resume.
Estevez ready. Next pitch on Albert. He swings at that one. Lifts a high fly ball. That one is deep out there into left field. It's out of here. Albert has just cracked a two-run homer. That gives the Angels the lead 4-3. That ties him right there with Willie Mays. That is number 660 in his glorious career. How about that?
It's just amazing to be able to have my name, you know, in the sentence with Willie Mays. It's just unbelievable. Really humble.
Albert Pujols, one of the greats of this era for sure, but not just of this generation. One of the best baseball players that we have ever seen. And he ties Willie Mays with home run number 660. That's fifth on the all-time list. I don't know whether or not he'll overtake Alex Rodriguez. Rodriguez sits at 696. And we know that Alex is not going back to play baseball again, despite the fact that he was turned away, rebuffed in his attempts to purchase the Mets. So instead, it's Steve Cohen who will be purchasing the Mets, because I think Steve Cohen had about $3 billion more than A-Rod and J-Lo. Money talks, baby. Anyway, Alex Rodriguez is fourth on the list, and he has 36 more home runs than Pujols and Mays. And Pujols is already in his 40s, so I don't know if he keeps playing. And if you're playing on a team that routinely does not compete for the postseason, is it worth it? I don't know. I guess if you like the records, he should be fifth solo at some point, because he just needs one more and he'll break that tie with Willie Mays. And it's pretty cool territory. We're talking about a top five home run hitter of all time. And he's the only guy who's active in the top 25. You have to go all the way down to Miguel Cabrera, who's also in his late 30s, to get another guy who is still active in the upper echelon of baseball's all-time home run hitters. It's a little bit like the numbers we were talking about with 300 game winners in baseball, and how I don't believe we'll ever have another one. In fact, 200 is the new 300. We may not have very many 200 game winners from this point forward because of how baseball has changed. Nelson Cruz is 53rd on the list with 417 homers. Edwin Encarnacion is just ahead of him, but they're both in their late 30s. I suppose you could look at Mike Trout and consider how quickly he's gotten to 100 home runs, and that he should theoretically have many more years and maybe could make an assault on the record book. But it's hard to imagine. It's a different game now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's brought to you toll-free by Geico. Did you know that Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Albert Pujols is signed through next season, an actual full baseball season. But producer Dave looked it up. He has not had more than 23 home runs in a season since 2016. And that makes sense. It certainly makes sense to me, but if you're looking at the all-time list and thinking, okay, can he bypass Alex Rodriguez? Well, then he would need, I mean, is it even possible to get 10 more this season? Probably not, considering how few games they have left. It's not realistic. But for him to tie Rodriguez, or forget A-Rod, how about just to get to 700? That would be phenomenal. I would celebrate it so much for Albert Pujols. But I hate that he operates now in relative anonymity because of where he plays. And same thing for Mike Trout. It's such a shame that we've seen Mike Trout one time on the postseason stage, and it was an early exit for the Angels. I mean, it sucks. But yeah, I was actually, this is kind of funny. I was actually looking at the baseball standings on Monday. I think it was halftime of the first football game. And I just thought, you know what? I haven't looked at the standings in a while. We haven't talked about baseball over the past few days because we've been busy with the start of football. And I was counting, kind of adding together wins and losses and counting and seeing where these teams are. First of all, the San Diego Padres have won 8 straight games. They are definitely a fun revelation and are going to the postseason. The Dodgers and Padres are two teams who have essentially had their schedules uninterrupted. I think they both missed a game or decided not to play a game when all of sports responded to the Jacob Blake situation. But the Dodgers and Padres right now, they're separated by a game and a half. So San Diego is going to make this a contest. The Dodgers have played 48 games. The Padres have played 49 games. I mean, by the weekend, they're only going to have a handful of games left. That's crazy. But the postseason is scheduled to start first week in October. It's leaving very little time for teams to make up games where they haven't played a full schedule. The Reds have played 49 games. The A's have played 48 games. The Rays, who are on top of the American League East, have played 47 games. Same thing with the White Sox, who actually have the most wins in the American League. So it's just kind of going through and familiarizing myself with where all these teams were, because it's been an all-out blitz. And yet, I'm looking forward to expanded playoffs, I guess. I don't know. Don't ask me how this is going to work. I'll just admit it right now. That first week of October, when we're going to have the NBA Finals, the expanded baseball playoffs, where the wild card series, there are 6 of them, right? Where the wild card series are 3 games each and there's 6 series. And then in addition to that, football, both NFL and college, I might lose my mind. October's already the busiest month of the season, or the busiest month of the year. I should say the busiest month of the calendar year in sports. And I don't know how to add in expanded wild card playoffs, multiple series, and the NBA Finals. I'll just tell you right now, football drives the bus. And so it's going to be impossible to navigate everything. We'll do our absolute best. But if week one was any indication, where all I could do was mention the fact that Alec Mills had thrown a no-hitter, that may be the way that it goes moving forward. So if you don't like football, this might not be the show for you. Also, producer Dave, we had a comment, the feedback on our Facebook page, from someone who was upset that we did not mention NASCAR on our Sunday night show. Sorry.
Oh. Sorry.
I mean,
only week one in the NFL.
Oh my gosh. I am sorry that this wasn't that you were disappointed this wasn't the show for you, but can I just tell you the last time I've watched a full NASCAR race? I've watched bits and pieces of them, but there is so much going on right now. And as a sports host, there's only so many hours in the day, and I have to watch what I have to talk about. So I do apologize for you disappointed NASCAR fans, but if I can't even play the final out of a no-hitter on the show, well, then you know that we are pressed for time.
Just can't make everyone happy.
No, it's impossible. I learned that a long time ago. What surprised you about week one in the NFL? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm not surprised that Russell Wilson played well, but it's definitely a surprise that he had as many touchdown passes as missed passes. So as many touchdown passes as incompletions. I was a little surprised that the defense surrendered 500 plus yards in Atlanta. But at the same time, that is the Falcons, and they do have a lot of weapons, and they're now adding Todd Gurley into the mix. But the balance that Wilson has with his receivers, the number of options they have, you know that Pete Carroll said they were going to go more to a pass first type of an offense. Now, they did lose, was it the third or fourth maybe it was the early December, 3 or 4 weeks to go, and they lost four running backs in one game. But Chris Carson certainly is a viable running back, but they're using him more in the passing game, or at least they did in week number one. So I thought that was interesting. Not so surprising that Russell Wilson killed it, but just that the team itself is, is equipped to navigate 2020 so well. We heard from Mike Ferrari in Seattle that Pete Carroll, John Schneider specifically put together a team built with veterans. They don't have undrafted rookies. They want guys on their team that they can trust and that will be accountable and be disciplined and that are used to the rigors of the NFL. Something else that surprised me, I'm not sure I've ever seen this in my entire life. A 19-play drive that covers nearly 9 minutes and results in no points. Not even a field goal. 19-play drive for the Giants on Monday night. And because of this wounded duck under pressure that Daniel Jones throws up into, I'm not kidding you, it was a crowd of Steelers. If you didn't see it, there had to be six Steelers just sitting there on the goal line looking for someone to cover. They were essentially like ganging up on the one receiver that was in the end zone. And it was such an easy interception, it wasn't even funny. So really bad decision for Daniel Jones there. So bad decisions by young quarterbacks don't surprise me, but a 19-play drive and you get no points? I didn't even know that you could not cover the length of two football fields in 19 plays. You want to talk about dink and dunk. So what surprised you? Twitter, Facebook, we've also got our Touchdown Tuesday poll. You can take that as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.